Stardate February 19th. It's known for certain that Jupiter's moon Io has many volcanoes that are active and very powerful. Now another Jovian moon, the next moon outward from Jupiter, called Europa, is suspected of having active volcanoes. The evidence showed up in much the same way that Io's volcanoes did, in photographs taken by the Voyager spacecraft while passing near the planet several years ago. In the case of Io, the discovery photograph showed a definite plume or cloud rising high above one edge of the moon. A similar but extremely faint plume has now been revealed on a photograph of Europa, along with a bright patch not found on any other picture and not matching any known surface feature. Europa is the smallest of the four large satellites of Jupiter, the four Galilean satellites. It's thought to have a rocky core with a crust of water ice. And it's known to have a very smooth surface crisscrossed by puzzling light and dark streaks. It was proposed recently that Europa may have a thin ice crust on top of a deep ocean of liquid water. If so, gravitational stresses from Jupiter and neighboring Io could cause fractures in the icy crust, which would allow the pressurized water below to spew into space as a volcanic plume. Confirmation of Europa's volcanoes will have to wait for one of two upcoming events, either the launch of the Space Telescope in 1985 or the return to Jupiter of another spacecraft called Galileo around the end of this decade. For February the 19th, that's Stardate. And for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory in Austin, I'm Joel Block.
It really is the old theme.
Mike, that's cruel. That's tricky. I thought that was the new theme.
It took you this long to realize that it was the old theme, even though our program director and Brianne O'Brien are here saying, but the old theme. And it took
their minds are a bit sharper, you know. We're seasoned people. We've been around longer. We've had time for things to dull.
You tried playing a trick on me today, too.
What'd I do?
And it worked, too.
What's that?
When you were standing around the door waiting for me to, you know... Well, I was waiting for you to open it, and it was, in fact, open.
Oh, that's right, it was. Yeah. Well, I didn't know it was open. I'm sorry. This is your way of getting back at me. Okay, I accept it.
Okay,
I accept your hostility, but still, would you please play the new theme so that we can make a new show? Otherwise, we'll have to do a repeat.
Oh, okay. Okay, is that good for you?
Oh, much better, much better.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that the song is much better, but I just feel better having this year's theme rather than last year's theme, you know?
Well, I was down...
I don't know where you dug that up.
I was down in the office.
Uh-huh.
I was finding the 11-minute version of June Lodge and Prince Muhammad, which we will be playing tonight.
We will be playing that again?
Yes, we will.
Oh, boy.
Because it's been a long time since I've heard the 11-minute version. Were you listening to the reggae program tonight?
I listened to part of it.
Well, they played June Lodge.
But not the 11-minute version.
About 1-minute version.
So that's quite different.
That's going in there. So we're going to play that coming up.
We've got all kinds of other things coming up, too.
Ja, Rooster Farai.
Yeah. Yeah, so stay tuned to The Voice
of Long Island.
I'm Mike Uhas.
I'm Eric Corley. We'll be here for the next 2 hours doing all kinds of lunatic type of things, including, we've got some spacey things coming up, let's put it that way, some telecommunications that you just will not believe.
That's true, yes. We will be here for 2 hours against everybody's better judgment.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we will even later on be giving away a copy of a George Winston album, too, to a lucky listener.
That's right. We'll be talking all about the exciting concert that's going to be taking place here on campus tomorrow. And
today.
You can be a part of it. Today, I'm sorry. Yes,
yeah.
Later on today.
Saturday.
Yeah, and
I'm really excited. I'm just as happy as a, you know, well, just very happy.
Yeah, very happy. I can picture all kinds of analogies there.
Yeah.
Our theme has ended.
Yeah.
And now we have no music to talk over, except...
except the old theme.
Still there?
Yeah.
There it is again.
We still have it.
We can play themes all night long, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, in actuality, this is a holiday weekend. Are you aware of it?
Yeah. Now, speaking of themes, we will be having a theme for tonight's show.
Well, yes, we will. In fact, there's a new program that was just sent to us, and we're kind of going to be testing it out tonight, and we want the people out there to tell us what they think about it and whether or not we should air this program on, a daily basis? I guess, a daily basis.
We can't hear you, Steve.
Yes, he says.
He shakes his head, yes.
Okay, so you'll tell us if you like the program. What's the program called?
What's the program called?
What's the program called?
What's the program called?
That's a great name for a program, don't you think?
It's a good name for a program.
Is it in here? Ah, here it is.
Ruby. Ruby is the name of the program. We'll be playing Ruby later, and episode by episode. There are a bunch of episodes there.
Are we going to play?
I guess you could say episodes.
Are we going to play the whole bunch of episodes?
Well, do you remember the folks who brought you the Fourth Tower of Inverness and what were some of the other ones?
Stars and Stuff.
And the Further Adventures of...
Nick Danger?
No. No, not that. Why don't you shove that thing over here?
Shove it over there.
Moon of Morocco. That was the one I was... And Jack Flanders. The Further Adventures of Jack Flanders or some such thing. No, The Incredible Adventures of Jack Flanders. A lot of good shows. They came from ZBS Media up in Boston, I believe, or Fort Edwards, New York. One of those places. I always get them mixed up.
Same thing.
Yeah. So we'll be playing that a little bit later, a few episodes. And, of course, you all know the phone number.
Yeah. In case we don't know the phone number, what is it?
Oh, gosh. Isn't our consultant around?
Let's see.
Where is she? Hello?
She's got to be around here someplace. Let's
Hello?
Maybe she's...
Ah, there she is.
516-246-7901.
It seems to have worked because that phone started ringing just as she said that.
Yeah.
516-246-7901 is our telephone number.
For The Voice
of Long Island on USB FM, where we have something on turntable number 6.
No, this is turntable 8.
So it was turntable 6 last week. We moved them.
That's right.
Yeah. Frank was in here all night doing that.
There's, you know, he really threw everybody for a loop here by changing all the turntable numbers.
We've got Aaron Copland conducts some really, really fine stuff. You
Copland
know.
Conducts music for a great city.
Yeah, great city. You know what great city that is?
No.
I don't either, but it's a good city. No, actually, it's New York. It's
and here's a tune on here that's 3 minutes and 19 seconds long.
It's called Subway Jam.
On The Voice
of Long Island.
yet?
Yo, oh boy. Aaron Copland conducts music for a great city, Subway Jam. That's good stuff. And Aaron Copland's entire career is a model of almost perfect proportions for the man who would compose music in the hostile environment of industrial America.
Industrial waste, I love it.
Yes. Music for a great city. Yeah, okay, well, that's that.
We're getting some great phone calls.
Yeah, each one stranger than the next, that's for sure. It's too bad we have so few lines. I like to see how crazy they can get.
They could really be crazy.
There goes another
one. It's a giant party line here, you know, kind of. All sorts of neat things happening here at the radio station.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
The polka dot line's ringing. That one hasn't rung in 2 years.
Yeah, son of a gun. Well, the program director, why don't you answer that?
Yes.
Thank you.
It might be important. Okay.
Oh, they hung up.
It might not be important. Now, we have this program here called Ruby that we want you to comment on. Now, people have been commenting on it, but we want you to comment on it after you hear it.
That's right.
We don't want you to comment on it before you even know what it's about.
Please don't.
And we'll be back, this is only 3-minute episodes, I believe. Is that correct? And there are a bunch of them.
Something like that.
And we have a whole bunch of exciting things to call and things before our time is up. Okay, this is an interstellar memo about this program. The date is 14.6.2084, destination Summa Nulla, origin Earthport, United States, origin code ZBS, flight line Airwaves, starship Radio. Oh, that's funny. RAYDEEOH. Radio. Flight code FM/AM. Series length 13 weeks. Number of episodes 65. Episode length 3 minutes. Frequency daily. Monday through Friday. I'm sorry. Restrictions.
Don't
see inserts entitled broadcast data. Includes cast, broadcast rights, frequency of plays, etc. Expiration. Alert. See broadcast data for expiration date, etc., etc.
Yeah, but we're not supposed to be reading that stuff on
the air. Realized that as I was reading
that's
it.
That's just for radio stations.
I thought this was part of the show, but I guess it's not. It doesn't really describe what the show is about, so I guess you kind of have to figure that out yourself. So,
okay.
You want to get started with episode one?
Sure.
Ruby.
The Adventures of Ruby.
The crystal city glistens in the moonlight. Three of the six moons of Summa Nulla are shining down, casting weird shadows in this abandoned city. Yeah, not totally abandoned. This was once an automated city. Now the rusted slidewalks no longer move. The winds blow through the broken city. What else? Whose thoughts? Slimy. Biogenetically engineered assassins out for the hunt. I can feel their mind nets sweeping the city. Okay, mind webs. Spun from cool, slimy thoughts that drift out to touch and freeze you in your tracks. So they can step up and blast you away. I move silently. I feel the mind webs searching, sifting, trying to pick up human thoughts. In the faint light of the three half moons, I see someone moving across the square. Wait a second. That looks like me. What the? They cut her down. Her circuits are oozing out of her stomach. She's not human. That's interesting. A Frankie that looks like me. Oh, she's still kicking. She's trying to get back up. Yeah, its scaly back is turned. I step out. I let it hear the sound of my blaster being set. It whirls and fires. I slow it down and flip aside. A beam scorches past my head. A chunk of the city flies into the sky. Slimy is surprised. It missed. It didn't know I can control time. I smile. Here's a kiss for you. My name is Ruby. I'm a galactic gumshoe. A good one. The time is the 21st century. The planet is Summa Nulla, crossroads of the galaxy. And this is my story. I call it The Big Deal.
Ruby is a ZBS production.
And you hear it here.
Wow.
On The Voice.
Of Long Island. Now, that's interesting. That sounds really good. We're going to have another part of that coming up very soon.
Oh, good.
Wouldn't it be nice if we did that instead of Stardate every day?
Wouldn't it be nice if we did that instead of, I'd rather not say. I'd get in trouble.
Oh, that's what we're here for. Come on.
I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we did that instead of the Voice of Long Island?
The Voice of Long Island. Okay, all right. Well, I'll talk to you about that later.
Okay.
Anyway, we've got all kinds of other fun things coming. We'll be talking to some very, 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 very interesting people. We're going to try to talk to some very interesting people, and very important people too.
Yeah.
Rather important people. In fact, probably the most important people in the world, in the opinions of some.
Yes. That's true. In any event, though, it's been a long time since we've played the long Turntable 26 version of June Lodge.
That's right. You are right about that. It is a very long time. But Annie over there is standing over in the conference room. She came in especially for this occasion. This is her big opportunity, and she's very happy to be here. Annie, why don't you say what you have to say?
516-246-7901.
Thanks. Okay, you can go now. That's our phone number, and you can call it.
Yeah, and tell us how you liked Ruby.
Yeah, June Lodge.
And Prince Muhammad.
On The Voice
of Long Island.
Thank you.
Come to one time, that's a one time.
That's a little tune from Capella.
Yeah.
You're on the Voice of Long Island.
I seem to be having some trouble over here with my microphone. It's talking to me. Yours is talking too. Whoops.
If you tuned in some needless nonsense,
you found it.
I certainly found the right spot here.
Oh, yes.
Well, the reason for all that noise is because the studio is falling apart, and we're trying to repair it right while we're talking here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first. Yeah. We haven't done that in quite a while.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be working either.
What did we just hear from...
we heard from Capella. Yeah. That's an album they have called Future and Past. And our... Our program director, Steve Kreitzer, here, he's down underneath the console here. Don't look at my dress.
Well,
that particular tune we heard was Abe Schwartz's famous Cher.
I thought it sounded familiar.
Not the same Cher as Sonny's.
No, oh, no.
Famous Cher.
No. Well, the whole board's falling apart.
Well, you know, I tell you, Steve Kreitzer's under there. Hey, wait a minute, that one's good. That one's good. No, don't do that.
Look at that. All the emergency lines are ringing at once. Isn't that amazing?
You made us look. Anyway, how was your week, anyway?
My week was pretty good. It snowed last week.
Oh.
Yeah, last
that
Friday.
That was so much fun.
Now, did you make it home okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you were driving home in the middle of a blizzard.
That's right. I made it home without it. Did you fix it, Steve?
No.
Oh. I made it home without any problem at all.
Now, there was a good, 10 inches of snow on the ground when you were driving.
I'd say at least a foot, yeah.
Yeah.
But aside from getting out of the parking lot, which was the biggest problem, I had no problems getting home, except getting into my driveway, of course. I had to shovel my driveway so I could get in it.
You know, I still haven't shoveled my driveway. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I believe in standing out among all the neighbors. But, it's okay. I park in the street and sort of, hike up the lawn. Yeah. It's kind of nice doing that. You imagine you're in the Adirondacks or something.
You were kind of stranded here for quite a while.
Yeah, well, no, I was stranded here for about a day. Mm-hmm. I dug my car out Saturday night, and then I stayed with some folks for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was fun just knowing that you were stranded. You know, people need to know that every now and then, they're stranded. Because, after all, we're all stranded in some sense.
Yeah, that's true.
We can't get off the earth.
That sounds very philosophical, if you ask me.
Yeah, we're all stranded here.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing we can do about it.
You know, that reminds me. We're going to play something from The Hitchhiker's Guide
to the Galaxy, that has something to do with getting off the Earth, right?
Yeah.
It's coincidental that came up. But I'd just like to talk about the blizzard again for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, it's amazing how much the snow has gone down.
Yeah.
They said in Central Park there was something like 18 inches last week, and now there's only 5 inches left.
Or less, I'd say.
Yeah, it's going fast. It's too bad, really, but
I was
still, it's
kind of
nice to walk along and feel the spring in the air, you know.
I was impressed by all that wind when it was
snowing.
Yeah,
that was
amazing. Afterwards, after the snow had fallen, a whole bunch of us from the station went over for Chinese dinner Saturday night, and we had just had so much fun. We had a big snowball fight after the dinner.
Wow.
6 of us, yeah.
Well, don't make it too big, you'll get in trouble.
We were in this, there was this shopping center where this particular Chinese restaurant was, and they cleared out the parking lot, and they made these big, huge mountains of snow.
Uh-huh.
And so I was up on top of the mountain of snow with John Vernile. Remember him?
Yeah, John Vernile.
Yeah, he's back. He comes and goes. But
he be doing a show on our radio station again?
He might be.
That'd
he
be
might
nice.
Be on the air. But we were up on top. We were playing King of the Mountain. And we were having a great big snowball fight, throwing big boulders down at Frank Burgert and Rich Koch and all the rest of them down there.
Uh-huh.
And just having a great time. And I lost my keys. They fell out of my pocket.
Uh-oh.
Right in the middle of this big, huge mountain of snow.
Oh, boy.
And
I have to wait till spring for those.
That's what I figured. Well, I'll have to come back in July if I can find them then. But, luckily... Luckily, I drove. Otherwise, I would have really been up, once I got home and realized, what were my keys, you know.
But how could you have gotten home without your keys?
If somebody else had driven.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And, go to get into the house there, and, door's locked. Yeah, that would have been just a bad scene for everybody.
How big was this mountain?
I'd say it was just as high as this studio. No, it was bigger than this. It was.
You built it, or was it there?
No, it was there.
Oh, okay.
The snowplow was built.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, they had these payloaders in that. And
so what happened? You just found it?
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of them, you know. I found my keys.
They're just there?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. We went back up onto the snowbank and we started looking for them, and I looked for something that wasn't white. It was, but, you know, it was trying to find, like, the proverbial needle in the haystack.
That reminds me.
Or the needle in the proverbial haystack.
One day last spring, last summer, I went out to a beach with a bunch of people. I think it was Mount Sinai or something.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Cedar Beach? One of those places.
Yeah.
And we walked for about 3 or 4 miles, I think, and went all the way out to this one, you know, to this rock or something, hung out there for a couple of hours, came all the way back to where the car was parked, and suddenly realized that the person who had driven had dropped the key somewhere along the way on the beach. And we didn't know exactly where, we just knew it was somewhere there. We followed our footprints, and miracle of miracles, we found the key.
Really?
Actually, the person, I think, who owned the keys found them, which was very impressive.
Yeah.
I was impressed by that. Because we really would have been, you know, up the paddle without a creek or something like that.
Some fool thing.
Yeah. But anyway, that kind of thing happens to a lot of people, especially around here. People at the radio station who have keys all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, forever losing things. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Having trouble with that board over there, aren't you?
Yeah. But if you wonder why we're talking so much tonight, it's because, well, we can't really do too much else because, like I said, Steve Kreitzer's underneath the board here. And he's...
That's not the reason we're talking. We're talking because we have interesting things to say.
Oh, that's true, too.
Yeah. Don't let that escape your mind for one moment.
Thank you.
Getting back to the blizzard, do you know what they did here at Stony Brook? They always have to make things unique.
Yeah, unique is not the word.
They declared a snow emergency, and in most people's opinions, there was no call for a snow emergency, but they decided to go through with it anyway and make it a snow emergency.
Now, what did they do? They actually blocked off the north entrance?
Well, first, what they did was they plowed all the roads over the weekend, did a really good job doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But then Monday came along, and they decided they should have a snow emergency, so they got the same people back and put all the snow back on the roads and block them so that people couldn't get in certain entrances, so that they all go in one entrance and make for big traffic jams. Okay? And when you make big traffic jams, that's when you have a snow emergency. Mm-hmm. Now, this place they call South P Lot, this huge parking lot, has three entrances. They blocked off two of them in this way. They made these huge snow mountains, and they stuck these little signs in all of them saying, snow emergency, for anybody who drove up to it and wondered why it was there. Told you, snow emergency. It was pretty funny. And then they made all the streets one way.
Hmm.
To further confuse things.
That's kind of silly, I think, if you ask me.
And then they had all these plastic, or actually cardboard signs saying one way, and nobody to man them, so cars weren't going the right way, even though they had declared this.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. The snow emergency, by the way, is over here for any, caught up to things, but...
I was hoping it would be over by May.
Yeah. It just makes things exciting, and they had all these signs printed up, I guess, so they might as well use them.
Yeah.
But it was pretty silly. Pretty silly.
Hmm.
Almost as silly as trying to get into this building. I won't talk about
that. Let's just ask our program director. Steve, how are you doing here on the board now?
I'm having lots of fun, Mikey. How are you?
Okay.
I like the wall at North's entrance, where it was not there Sunday afternoon, but Monday morning it was there.
Yeah, they worked all night long to construct that wall.
I almost went into that wall, not expecting it to be there.
Yeah, I came up through Sheep Pasture Road or something, and just said, oh my God, what's this doing here? Did they actually do this? they plowed snow into the way of a road? Oh, it was a first in my opinion, anyway.
Anyway, it is about a quarter to...
One?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. We have another episode. Can we play that other episode now?
Sure.
Is it possible?
Okay.
Yep.
Can we do that, Steve?
We have Ruby, episode 2. Did you hurt yourself?
No.
Oh, okay. Episode 2 of Ruby.
You just couldn't get it out there for...
We want to get your comments on this program. We're serious about this.
Call us up.
What's the phone number?
Oh,
where is she?
Get back here.
Jeez.
516-246-7901.
Thank you.
And
go away.
That is not a toll-free call.
No, it's not. Here's Ruby.
The Adventures of Ruby.
The Slimies had blasted some Frankie. She was dressed up to look like me. On closer inspection, I discovered she didn't look like me at all.
Ruby.
Yeah. What's your name, kid?
Angel. I am a Frankie.
Yeah, I noticed. Your circus is spilling out all over the street.
I've
heard. Well, find your body shop.
Ruby.
Why are you dressed like me?
Ruby.
Shut up and answer.
Ruby.
Look, kid. Answer, or I'll short-circuit your intestines.
Ruby.
Why?
Magical. He's reaching for for you.
Tender.
Typical rats around my faithful neck. Drag me back and throw a slit in the wall.
Ruby?
I'm looking at a thing with four tentacles, three eyes, a thin blue mustache, and wearing a red fez.
I am the Tuca.
Get your tacky tentacles off me.
Certainly. But please do not reach for your blaster. The Tuca is quicker than Ruby.
I doubt it. What's a ball of tentacles like you doing in a town like this?
I monitor the city. They are closing in, spinning a mind net for you, Ruby.
Yeah. I wonder what that Frankie did to put the slimies on my back. The Tuca is quicker than you, Ruby.
I know the Kapoorian hired you.
Oh, so you know that fat little rat-faced Kapoor.
He has hired me to assist you.
Look, tentacles, I work alone.
I may be able to lend a hand.
Forget it.
I have a cube. May I play it?
Sure.
Ruby.
That's right.
My name is Rodot. I'm a Kapoori.
What do you want, Rodot?
Rodot, not Rodot.
So what do you want?
We want you to find out who is manipulating reality.
Get out of here.
Wait, please. My people will pay handsomely.
How handsomely?
Most handsomely.
Sit down.
Thank you. Someone is trying to control the mind of this planet. The media, Rudy. The media has given them the power. It is driving everyone crazy.
Slam them against the table.
Crazy. And there is no end to it. Technology will only advance their powers. We cannot evolve, mutate fast enough to cope. Something must be done before we all go mad. Mad. There may be a conspiracy, Rudy. Conspiracy.
Why me?
Because you serve the Lords of Chaos.
That was hardly necessary.
Huh.
Ruby is a ZDS production.
On the Voice.
Of Long Island.
Yes.
For now, anyway. 246-7901, give us your comments on that. Let us know if we should air that every day or something.
Yeah.
Now, what do we have now? We have Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Part 1?
Yeah, it's an album that came out.
A two-record set?
Yeah, it's essentially, it's the first four episodes of that radio program.
Not essentially.
Yes,
it's
essentially.
It's very complicated.
No, it's not all that complicated.
Well, can I try to go over this?
Sure.
And you can maybe explain it to me along the way?
Well, okay. You're the one who's reading it, so you shouldn't have to be explained to me.
Well, I'll try. All right? I read it before, and I was pretty confused. Although The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy itself has not been published on Earth, stories concerning the guide have been circulated under that title.
Yeah.
Okay, so far so good. These first began to appear as a series of BBC radio programs. In England, I guess they mean England, in March 1978. The first series consisted of six programs, of which this double record album represents the first four. Okay? These are not the recordings which were originally broadcast, but wholly new recordings of substantially the same scripts. Okay? This is for complex reasons of copyright. If you wish to understand these reasons, then you should first limber your brain up on a little gentle quantum theory workout in relativity. Try to pump up a unified field theory. Take a short cooling rest. Now you should be ready to tackle copyright law, but probably are no longer interested in it. All right, later that year, one more episode was recorded and broadcast, commonly known as the Christmas episode. It contained no reference of any kind to Christmas. It was called the Christmas episode because it was first broadcast on December 24th, which was not Christmas Day. After this, things began to get increasingly complicated. And here's where Mike can help, I hope. In the fall of 1979, the first Hitchhiker book was published in England called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It was a substantially expanded version of the first four episodes of the radio series. At roughly the same time, this double album was first released, which was a slightly contracted version of the first four episodes of the radio series. Okay. In January 1980, five new radio episodes of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy were broadcast
on
the BBC.
And that brought the total up to 12.
Well, I don't see how you get that, because they say one more episode was recorded as a Christmas episode. Okay? And that added
so
to four.
No, that added to six. You only have the first four there.
The first four came out. Then the one Christmas episode came out.
No. The first six came out.
I'm trying to find that. Hold on.
Then the Christmas episode.
The first series consisted of, six programs. All right, six plus one is seven, and then five more, which brought the total to 12. Okay.
That makes sense.
In the fall of 1980, the second Hitchhiker book was published in England. It was a very substantially reworked and re-edited version of episodes 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 7, and 8.
In that order.
Of the radio series of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. In case this seemed too straightforward, the book was called The Restaurant at the End of
the
World.
Universe. Yeah, at the End of the Universe, yeah. Sorry. It was better than At the End of the Bridge.
Watch it.
Sorry.
At roughly the same time, a second record album was made, which I don't believe we have, featuring a heavily rewritten version of episodes 5 and 6 of the radio series. This record album was also called The Restaurant at the End of the Universe. Meanwhile, a series of six TV shows of Hitchhiker was made by the BBC and first broadcast in January 1981.
In England.
This was based more or less on the first six radio episodes. In other words, the book was called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and the second half of the book called The Restaurant at the End of the Universe. In the summer of 1982, a third Hitchhiker book was published in England called Life, the Universe, and Everything. This was not based on anything already heard or seen on radio or television. In fact, it flatly contradicted episodes 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 of the radio series. These episodes, you will remember, had already been incorporated in revised form in the book called The Restaurant at the End of the Universe. Many people are increasingly of the opinion that the impending demolition of the planet Earth will clear away a lot of confusion. I'm sorry.
That's true. It is a little bit confusing.
It's hard to follow. It just is.
Well, you got to draw a little diagram.
Especially since I wasn't even aware of this until the TV series started coming on. I didn't know anything about this.
Well, you were in your bliss, I guess, then.
And what we have here isn't even the radio series. It's the record series.
That's right, which is essentially the radio series, except...
No, that's heavily rewritten.
Not heavily rewritten. Well, yeah. Well, it's redone. It's not really rewritten.
These are not the recordings which were originally broadcast, but wholly new recordings.
Right. It doesn't say rewritten. It says
substantially the same scripts. That's right. Okay. But
see, there you go.
But wholly new recordings. Okay. That's important to distinguish them.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to go into just a little bit of it? I mean,
yeah, I'd like to go into a whole lot of it, actually.
Well, we'd be doing it for 2 hours if we did that.
Well,
you know?
No, we could do it for half an hour.
No, I don't think we should, because our show isn't very long.
Well, there's not going to be anybody to show up at 2 o'clock anyway.
Oh, that's not true. We have all kinds of superstars coming in at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, who's going to
We don't even know who it is. That's how much of a superstar it is.
Okay.
It's a secret from us.
If nobody shows up at 2 o'clock, we'll play it then.
All right, that sounds good. But let's just... They give you information on how to leave the planet Earth on the back of this album.
And we're gonna get into that after we play
this. We're going to follow that to the T.
Right.
But first, we're going to hear a little bit from part one of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, part one. Side one of part one.
Yeah, the end of side one.
Yeah, but there's more.
It's on the voice.
We're not gonna hear of Long Island, part one.
The babelfish is small, yellow, leech-like, and probably the oddest thing in the universe. It feeds on brainwave energy, absorbing all unconscious frequencies and then excreting telepathically a matrix formed from the conscious frequencies and nerve signals picked up from the speech centers of the brain. The practical upshot of which is that if you stick one in your ear, you can instantly understand anything sent to you in any form of language. The speech you hear decodes the brainwave matrix. Now, it is such a bizarrely improbable coincidence that anything so mind-bogglingly useful could evolve purely by chance that some thinkers have chosen to see it as a final, clinching proof of the non-existence of God. The argument goes something like this. I refuse to prove that I exist, says God, for proof denies faith, and without faith I am nothing. But, says man, the babelfish is a dead giveaway, isn't it? It proves you exist, therefore you don't. QED. Oh dear, says God, I hadn't thought of that, and promptly vanishes in a puff of logic. Oh, that was easy, says man. and for an encore, he proves that black is white, and gets killed on the next zebra crossing. Most leading theologians claim that this argument is a load of dingo's kidneys, but that didn't stop Ulan Kalufin making a small fortune when he used it as the central theme of his best-selling book, Well, That About Wraps It Up for God. Meanwhile, the poor babelfish, by effectively removing all barriers of communication between different cultures and races, has caused more and bloodier wars than anything else in the history of creation.
What an extraordinary book. Did you get much useful material on Earth?
I was able to extend the entry, yes.
Oh, let's see what it says in this edition, then.
Okay.
Let's see. E. Earth. Earth. Oh, it doesn't seem to have an entry.
Yes, it does. Look, there at the bottom of the screen. Under Eccentrica Columbus, the triple-breasted whore of Eroticon 6.
What, there? Oh, yes.
Harmless? Is that all it's got to say? One word, harmless? What the hell's that supposed to mean?
Well, there are 100 billion stars in the galaxy and a limited amount of space in the book. And no one knew much about the Earth.
Well, I hope you've managed to rectify that a bit.
Yes, I transmitted a new entry off to the editor.
Good.
He had to trim it a bit, but it's still an improvement.
What does it say now?
Mostly harmless.
Mostly harmless?
Oh, come on. I think that's pretty good coverage for a disintegrated pile of rubble.
And that's supposed to make me feel better, is it?
Shh!
What?
That.
What is it?
Well, if we're lucky, it's just the Vogons come to throw us into space.
If we're unlucky?
The captain might want to read us some of his poetry first.
Vogon poetry is, of course, the third worst in the universe. The second worst is that of the Asgoths of Kriya. During a recitation by their poet master, Grunthus the Flatulent, of his poem Ode to a Small Lump of Green Putty I Found in My Armpit One Midsummer Morning, four of his audience died of internal hemorrhaging, and the president of the Mid-Galactic Arts Nobbling Council only survived by gnawing one of his own legs off. Grunthus is reported to have been disappointed by the poem's reception, and was about to embark on a reading of his 12-book epic entitled Zen and the Art of Going to the Lavatory, when his own major intestine, in a desperate attempt to save the universe, leapt straight up through his neck and throttled his brain. The very worst poetry of all perished along with its creator, Paul Normal Emil Snodgrass of Redbridge, Essex, England, in the destruction of the planet Earth. Vogon poetry is mild by comparison, but when the Vogon captain began to read, it provoked this reaction from Ford Prefect. And this from Arthur Dent.
O freckled Grunt Bugly, thy micturations are to me a spurtled gabble blotting in a lurking bee. Group, I implore thee, my hooting curling drones, and hoopsiously dangle me with crinkly bindle words, for otherwise I will rend thee in the gobble wart with my burgle cunchion. See if I don't. So, Earthling, I present you with a simple choice. I was going to throw you straight out into the empty blackness of space to die horribly and slowly, but there is one way, one simple way, in which you may save yourselves. Think very carefully, for you hold your very lives in your hands. Now choose. Either die in the vacuum of space, or... Tell me how good you thought my poem was.
Oh, I thought that some of the metaphysical imagery was really particularly effective.
Yes, and interesting rhythmic devices too. We seem to counterpoint
the surrealism of the underlying metaphor.
And then die in the vacuum of space.
What?
Now, wait a minute.
I'm sorry if that seems mean, but it's the only thing I'm much good at, so I like to keep in practice.
What, writing poetry?
No, being mean. God, take them to number 3 airlock and throw them out.
Don't worry, Arthur. I'll think of something.
I don't want to die now. I've still got a headache. I don't want to go to heaven with a headache. I'd be all cross and wouldn't enjoy it. Ow! Ow!
Counterpoint the surrealism of the underlying metaphor. Death too good for them.
Well, Well, there you have it, at least a part of it anyway, a small, small part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, a little teeny thing there.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Incidentally, we've been getting some comments on this saying what we should do with Ruby. That was not Ruby, that was Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So please don't get them confused. They're very, very different. Very different. We'll be playing some more of Ruby later on. Is that microphone still giving us problems?
Yeah.
Sounds horrible. Anyway, we have some instructions to follow on the back of this record cover.
Oh, by the way, I think we should mention
that we are listening to
WUSB
Stony Brook.
And not only that, but we do know who is coming in at 2 o'clock. So
who's coming in at 2 o'clock?
There's absolutely no confusion at all. We do know who is coming in at 2 o'clock.
But we're not going to say who it is.
Right.
Oh. Is there a reason why we're not going to say?
Why not?
Okay. It makes sense to me. Anything makes sense around here. It's 1 minute after 1 o'clock, and time for us to look at this, the back of this record. Some information which may confuse you. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy itself, we did that already, is not published on this planet. It is in the long term a viable financial proposition. In the long term, nothing on this planet is a viable proposition for reasons which the contents of this record album should make clear. If you wish to avoid the events on this album, this is what you should do. 1. Leave the Earth as quickly as possible. 2. Do not procrastinate. 3. Do not panic. 4. Do not take the whole Earth catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, we do want to leave the planet. Have we decided that we do, in fact, want to leave the planet?
Sure, let's leave.
Okay. How to leave the planet. 1. Phone NASA, N-A-S-A. Explain that it's very important that you get away as quickly as possible. Now, they even give the phone number to call, and we're going to call them right now. Let's get on the old blower and give a call to NASA. Explain that we have to get away.
Dialing for astronauts.
As quickly as possible. I just hope they believe us.
Ooh. It's a phone ringing in Houston, Texas. No answer.
Well, give them time. They're probably busy with the space shuttle or something. They're very busy people as astronauts. I say we give them at least 4 more rings or something. We have other alternatives. We're not at the end of our rope, okay?
Yeah, we still have a couple other places to try.
1 more ring. Okay, well, they say if they do not cooperate, and I guess that's non-cooperation, then try to get someone at the White House. And they give the phone number over there, too, to bring some pressure to bear on them. I think they'll be home. What do you think?
There's always somebody home at the White House.
Yeah, I usually agree with that.
That's one building you can truly say is never empty.
Incidentally, if you want these secret phone numbers, we'll call and we'll tell you if you want to know. You have to call us. Ah.
Sounds like my home phone.
Uh-oh. Something happened. A phone call is being traced.
White House.
Hello, is this the White House?
Yes, it is.
Hi, we're calling from a radio station up in Long Island. We're looking on the back of a record album, and they give instructions on what to do as far as leaving the planet, and they give this phone number. They say you'll have some information for us?
Just a moment, please.
Thank you. They have some information, I'm sure.
I don't know anything about it.
They haven't told you anything?
No.
Oh, gosh. Okay, would you recommend me calling back at some point? Maybe somebody else would know?
If you call back during the day, 9 to 5.
Okay, and they could tell me how to leave the planet then, I guess.
Well, I doubt if that's true.
All right, well, it's worth a try, I guess. Okay, thanks anyway.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Well, they tried to help us. At least we got someplace with them.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you don't get any joy out of them, did you get joy out of them, Mike?
No, not too much.
All right, we got no joy out of them, so we have to phone the Kremlin. Yeah, that's right.
That's the next step on the back of this album cover.
Ask your overseas operator to connect you. I shall give the phone number here and everything. And
well, let's do it.
We're going to have to say that over the air because we'll be connected to an operator. ask them to bring a little pressure to bear on the White House on your behalf. So let's get our operator. Okay. And here comes the operator.
Why don't you dial another one of them and make it go through a little bit quicker?
Well, but that time it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Good morning, Miss Richardson. May I help you?
Hi. Yes, we're trying to make an overseas call, and I have all the numbers here in front of me. I guess the 010 is irrelevant at this point, isn't it?
01. It would be 011.
Yeah, but I'm supposed to dial 010 to get operator assistance. But since I already have you, I don't have to dial that.
Yeah, can you dial overseas calls?
I don't think so. Can I?
No. What is the number you're calling?
Well, I'm trying to get through to country code 7, and the city code is 095, and the rest of the number is 2959051.
Thank you. Hold on.
Thanks. On the road to Moscow.
International direct dial service is no longer available to the U.S.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to connect you with overseas operator. Hold
on. Thank you.
Are you calling to Russia?
Yeah, the Soviet Union, actually.
Same thing, right?
Well, no, not really. Ask any Russian.
That's true, too.
Any true Russian, that is. I like that. They have a special recording saying you can no longer make calls to the Soviet Union. Directly.
Yeah, but it doesn't go doo-doo-doo.
No, it doesn't do that. I guess they don't mess around with those things over there.
Incidentally, we will be giving away a copy of a George Winston album, so stay tuned.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about the concert tomorrow, too.
Yes.
Today. I'm sorry. I keep doing that.
Tell her thank you.
Thank you. I told her. we really will give you these numbers if you call us up, even if you didn't hear them or something, but wait until we get off the air. Not kicked off the air and thrown into jail or something, but I mean off the air.
That's coming quicker than you think.
Again, sir?
Excuse me?
What country are you calling to?
This is the Soviet Union. How could she forget that? Would you forget that?
Well, it's because you told her it wasn't Russia.
Yes, but that shouldn't confuse people too much. I don't know. Maybe it will. We have one more alternative after this in case this doesn't work. And this one should work.
Oh, it's got to work.
Yeah. And in fact, do you know what time it is over there? Maybe I should ask her.
Let's see.
Operator, do you know what time it is over there?
Overseas?
Yeah, in the city we're trying to reach, which is Moscow.
One moment.
I hope I don't tax her abilities. Can't find Moscow in the book. Oh, my goodness. 8 minutes after 1 o'clock. I wonder what our phone number is.
516-246-7901.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to give you the time now. Hold on.
Thank you.
I wonder if they have a recording for the time over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Hello, comrade. It's on the time ski. Will be... That's horrible to say things like that. They probably think we all talk like cowboys over here, you know?
Yeah, well, it's true, you know.
Do you ever hear an American accent in England? It's really funny. But I said this before. What I really want to hear is people
Hello?
In Japan imitating English. Yes?
I'm sorry to keep going. So hang up and come right back in again.
Excuse me?
Hang up and down, and come right back in again, okay?
Okay. She gave up.
She's
she can't handle it. She wants us to call another operator. Oh, boy, I never had that happen before. This time I'll dial the extra digit. Get an operator right away.
Good morning, Mr. Richie. Can I help you?
Yes, hi, it's me again. I'm trying to get through to that number in Moscow.
Hello?
Yes, did I just talk to you?
I can barely hear you, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Not too good.
I'll call.
Come right back in. Just come right back in again.
Okay. She could hear me fine. Let it be said, she could hear me fine. She just didn't want to deal with me again.
Yeah.
If I get through to her a third time, I don't think there's any way she can get
out. That happened to me once. I got the same operator 3 times in a row.
Really?
That's
be great if I get her again.
Lynn, good morning.
Yes, hi. I'm trying to make an overseas call.
All right, what number are you calling?
Okay, the country code is 7, and the city code is 095, and the rest of the number is 295-9051.
Are you placing it station to station?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks. I sense confidence. Do you?
Yes.
Oh, and efficiency.
But we'll get a recording.
International direct dial service is no longer available to the USSR. The local operator must connect you to the International Operating Center. This is a recording.
Okay, just a moment. I didn't realize that.
Okay.
She seems very nice.
Yes, very sincere. And she admitted that she didn't quite know about that.
Operators can be so helpful.
Be a wise guy, Mike.
But it's true.
Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right.
11 minutes after one.
She's got such a smoothing voice.
You'll have to give all the information to the operator I'll connect you with, okay?
Okay, I'll do that. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Oh, I like this ring. I can tell. I knew I'd like that ring. Very few phones have that kind of ring, so...
My aunt and uncle in Wynwood, Pennsylvania do.
Yeah? But this is an operator, you know.
Wouldn't it be funny if my aunt or uncle answered the phone?
Oh, boy.
Michael, is that you?
Where you are?
Hi, yes, I'm trying to make an overseas call, and I got all the information here.
Where?
Okay, it's country code 7.
Where are you calling?
I'm calling to Moscow.
Hey, you wouldn't be able to call. You have to call back tomorrow afternoon, sir.
Oh, they're not taking calls now?
No.
Oh, dear. What time tomorrow afternoon should I call?
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock?
Yes.
And will I be able to get through right away?
You should.
Okay, I'll give that a shot then.
Okay.
Thanks.
No problem.
Oh, how about that?
Good gosh. Well,
why can't you call until 12 o'clock noon? I mean...
Remember when we tried... What was it? What country was that we tried calling? Oh, darn.
Bulgaria? Albania?
No. Was it Syria?
Poland?
One of those countries wasn't accepting calls.
Southern Yemen.
I think it might have been Syria.
Yeah?
Damascus, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We're trying to get through to Damascus.
Countries don't accept calls. That's weird.
Yeah, because they were off for the weekend, I think.
Okay, well, if that too fails, up to step four now, if that too fails, phone the Pope for guidance.
Oh, wait a minute. Suppose we're not Christian.
Well, I don't think that matters. I mean, the Pope is, you know, he's an open-minded individual.
Oh, okay. Well, let's call him.
I mean, he's gone to all these crazy countries.
Let's get Miss Richardson again.
She'll go crazy, you know. But nobody... you can call Rome and Vatican City and all that kind of stuff direct with no problem. Okay?
Okay.
So no one is even going to suspect we're calling the Pope. We're just going to ask for this number and get the Pope. JP here. JP2 in person.
And may I help you?
Yes, hi. We're trying to make an international call.
Have a country code?
Yes, we have everything. Country code 39, city code 6, and the telephone number is 6982.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're going to have to pay for this call, too, you know.
Yes, only if the Pope answers. Well, it's late at night.
You should have made this... person to person.
Sir?
Yes. Hello?
No. Hold on.
Okay. I didn't think about that. I'll pay for it.
Could I have those numbers again, please?
Sure. Country code 39, city code 6, and the number is 6982.
Thank you.
Thanks. I wonder what time it is over there. I think it's about 5 or 6 hours ahead of us. Pretty early in the morning. Well, Popes get up early, as a rule. Saturday morning, too. Cartoons are on.
I think we have that.
We made it to Rome, or Vatican City, or what have you.
Or across the Atlantic, maybe.
That's line noise. What the heck? Ooh, that's a ring.
Phone skier's ring.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Is this the Pope's office?
Oh. Moment.
Hello?
Speak English.
We speak English, yes.
Mommy.
Can you hear us?
She's getting somebody who can speak English.
Oh. She dropped the phone. Hello? Hello? Yes, we're trying to speak to the Pope. Is that possible?
That's possible, yes.
When will it be possible? We need to talk to him about leaving the planet. Hello?
It's never possible.
It's never possible? Oh, dear. Is there maybe an assistant we can speak to?
Not tonight.
Not tonight. When would you suggest we try?
In 2-3 hours.
It would be hard. I don't know what to say at this point.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, anyway, even though we really haven't accomplished anything. Okay, bye. There they go.
I'm fading off in the distance.
Well, they're still there, you know. Oh, well. So, it's never possible. I mean, that's really unfair. You can't talk to the general public?
I guess not.
People in Stony Brook can't call the Pope?
Mm.
I think we should try harder. But anyway, if all these attempts fail, flag down a passing flying saucer and explain that it's vitally important that you get away from your phone. Get away before your phone bill arrives. Oh my God. I didn't read that before. That's funny. Okay, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to leave this mess by putting on something new from the new Ellen Foley record.
Oh, right.
Just came out. And yeah. Nobody from the Clash is on that record, incidentally, so that's the way it goes. 16 minutes after 1 o'clock, the voice of Long Island. If you want any of those crazy numbers we just called, we'll give them to you.
Stay tuned, because we will be giving away a George Winston album coming up within the next 15 or so minutes.
Yes, our number is 246-7901.
But don't call it now if you want to win.
No, don't call it now if you want to win, but call it now if you want any more info from us and things like that. Sound good?
Ellen Foley.
Everyone, y'all. You never want to talk to the right on it. till everyone, not as well off, even the boys and girls. Say, don't get so crazy. I'm say something they found me mind. Hey. Me have to tell everyone. That's a variation. Don't in a Babylon. You want starvation. Don't in a Babylon. Touchy deletion, don't in a Babylon. You are so variation, don't in a Babylon. Zion, I want to go Ethiopian. Zion, I want to go Ethiopian. Zion, I want to go Ethiopian. Zion, I want to go. See no bother, be no clouds. See that make me stick around. Cause something they found me mine. Yeah, you know, me have to tell everyone. Say that even the boys and the girls. Good. I see no bother get so crazy. I make a step it out of Babylon, I step it in a Zion. Step it out of Babylon, I step it in a Zion. One by one, say we step it out of Babylon. Two by two, say we must go a Zion. Can't go a Zion with a carnal mind. Your carnal mind have to stay behind. Can't go a Zion in a limousine. Got a telico limousine, but really go down a gantali. Hands on your heart up to pure and clean. To rally on the ice cold and green. Make we step it out of Babylon. Make we step it in a Zion land. Do it. Make we step it out of Babylon. Hey, I make we step it up a Zion land. Yeah, you know. Cause something they found me mine. Yeah, you know. I got to tell everyone. Bang bang bang, say that even the boys and girls. Hey, I see nobody get so crazy. You are bigger sister, baby. But I'm bigger sister, baby. Say no bother, be so lazy. But I'm bigger. Really bang bang, really, really, really bang bang, bang bang, really. Say no bother, get so crazy. Do me. I see that bigger sister, baby. Say bang bang, sing you. Say no bother, get so crazy.
Tim.
See that bigger sister, Daisy. Yeah. Step it on top of the hill.
Right.
Come into the pity, not a young man. We party,
right?
Carry party, is a must.
Bang.
Carry party, is a must.
Boom.
Carry party, is a must. And that no million, that a must. And ain't no bother with no fun. So step it to the Babylon. Say no, no, say you. Say no, step it to the Babylon. Say no, no, say that. Step it to the Babylon.
All right, who's going to clean up this mess?
Steve Kretcher, our program director, comes in here and he... Remember when we spent half an hour just rolling this thing down the counter on the air?
Yeah, and now we can do it at lightning speed.
Whoops.
Yes, that's great. That was Ranking Joe with Something on My Mind. And prior to that, we heard from... Mike, who did we hear from?
Ellen Foley, that's who we heard from. Yes, Ellen Foley, minus the Clash and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to play another episode of Ruby.
Yeah.
Oh.
But first.
You want to go for this first?
We're going to go for international dining.
Okay, well, we got hooked on this stuff. You know, out there seem to like it, so we'll keep doing it.
This is Davis. May I help you?
Yes, operator. We need international information, please.
Where?
For Tripoli, Libya.
Tripoli, Libya. Hold
yes,
on.
Thank you.
I believe it's the country we're currently at war with or something.
Not really. I think we're just...
I'm checking. Hold on.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I think we're just going to go for the Oscars All Night Kosher Deli this time.
Okay, well, let's see if we can get in touch with Gaddafi, too.
Arab People's Libyan, is that it?
Yeah, that sounds about right, yes.
And you want information. Hold on.
Yes, for Tripoli, which is the capital.
Yes, okay, sir. I got it.
Thank you very much.
Actually, Libya has two capitals. But I won't get into that now.
Oh.
Because I forgot the name of the other one. If anyone out there remembers the name of the other place, other capital of Tripoli, call us.
We're sorry. Due to circuit congestion in the country...
I'll try it again. Hold on.
Boogers.
Thank you very much.
As if there are no circuits.
If anyone knows the name of the other capital...
Wait a minute.
Give us a call.
Don't give that away yet.
We're sorry.
We'll turn it into a contest.
I'll give it one more attempt, sir. If we can't get through now, please come back in about 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much for your help, operator.
You're quite welcome. Hold on.
But if we don't know the answer...
We're sorry. Due to circuit congestion in the country...
Yeah, I'm unable to get through to the information operator right now, sir.
So you figure in about 10 minutes. Do you happen...
Put another try.
Do you happen to know what time it is over there right now?
Hold on. I'll check.
Thank you very much. They might be out to lunch or something.
Okay, they are 7 hours ahead of us.
So that makes it about 8:25.
That's about it.
Hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much for your help, anyway.
You're quite welcome. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Have a good holiday.
Well, okay.
Holiday this week too.
Now, if anybody knows the other capital of Libya.
Now, I don't know if it's an acting capital or if it's a dormant capital.
But you'd know it if you heard
no.
it.
No. Well, not necessarily. I'm not sure.
Well, then how are we going
to
verify?
That's what I was trying to say. How are we going to tell? If anyone out there knows, I may know, okay? It's possible. How could we find out?
It's not Pachelbel.
That's funny. How could we find out what the other name of the capital is?
Well, obviously we can't do this as a contest, because we'd be bluffing.
How about this? The second person who calls up...
No.
How are you going to get the wrong answer twice? Yeah?
Well, that person could call again a second time.
Yeah, that's true. Well, look, let's have two different things here.
How about if we give away one copy of George Winston's December album, and let's make it just an arbitrary number of caller, the blank caller in.
Four. I like four.
No. I got a good question.
What?
Who?
Phone's ringing already.
No. Don't call. And besides, you're calling on the wrong line.
You always talk to people on the phone when you don't even pick up.
That's true. Here's a good question. Let's ask, who did the theme for Mission Impossible?
Oh, you know that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's make that. The first caller with the correct answer to that question... at 516-246-7901, who did the theme for Mission Impossible will win themselves a copy of a George Winston album called December.
That's good you picked that, because, you know, someone who knows Mission Impossible has just got to be into George Winston, and it follows.
Right. It only does follow.
Yeah.
And here is episode 3 of Ruby.
Also, wait, before you do that, anyone else knows the capital, the other capital of Tripoli? The other capital of Libya, we do want to know.
But there won't be any prize.
No, but let us know, please.
Yes,
thank you.
The Adventures of Ruby.
I'm talking to a fat Tuca. Four tentacles, three eyes, thin blue mustache, and wearing a red fez.
So the rat-faced Kaburian has hired you to find who is controlling our images of reality.
You got it.
May I offer you a drink and extend a friendly tentacle?
Sure. The Tuca extends his friendly three-fingered tentacle. I shake it. He has a good grip. I've shaken a lot of things in my life. Hands, paws, claws, fins, antennae. But there's something creepy about a tentacle, those little suction cups fastening onto your skin. And this Tuca's got four tentacles. So how do you know if you're shaking his hand or his foot?
This was once a fully automated city. It was built to last for several millennia. It actually functioned for about 10 years.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. I left a Frankie lying out in the street. I'd like to drag her in.
This is the central controls. I have repaired some. The weather is still a problem. There was once a time one could predict the weather and then create it.
Yeah. Look, Spider, save the tour. I'm going to get her out of the street before she's stripped for part. I drag her inside, pick her up, and dump her on a table. The Tuca finally helps by scooping up some of the circuitry that's oozed out of her stomach.
Ooh, lovely creature. Exquisite, fine, long legs, smooth, plastic flesh. A perfect humanoid body. Mind if I roll her over and examine the other side?
She's up for grabs, as far as I'm concerned.
Ah, well crafted. No visible seams.
What are you looking for?
A power pouch.
Wouldn't expect to find it there.
One hides their power in strange places.
I can see that.
We'll give her a flash charge, huh? Here, clamp this onto her. We'll see if she wiggles.
You got a lot of zaps here, Spider.
Oh, don't worry.
The used android market's not bad, but I hate to see her melted down before we get to... You're getting results.
Yes.
Move it lower.
I guess that's the spot.
Ruby is a ZBS production.
On The Voice.
Of Long Island.
But not exclusively.
No, not really. That sounded interesting.
Okay, nobody knew what the... we do know what the other capital Olivia is, and it's...
Benghazi.
Right.
Thanks to folks from somewhere who haven't told us yet where they're from.
But they will tell us because they're going to win. They won the album.
They won the album because nobody else got the...
Nobody knew who did the theme for Mission Impossible.
Who did the theme for Mission Impossible?
Oh, you want to know?
Yes.
Lalo Schifrin.
Ah, of course.
Yeah. But, you know, thinking of that reminded me of this brand new album that we have in the station by this guy, two guys, Tim Moran and Tony Vacca. It's an album called Wizard's Dance.
Uh-huh.
They play all sorts of neat things and flutes and stuff. And there's a tune on there called Zimbabwe.
Well, it's spelled wrong. It's got an I at the end.
No, that's an exclamation mark.
Oh, like Sandinista.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I guess it's their answer to Sandinista. And it's nice, mellow tune. It reminds me an awful lot of the Mission Impossible theme.
Let's hear it.
On The Voice.
Of Long Island.